Every great adventure story has something in common. In order for the main characters to overcome the challenges that they are going to face, they need a mentor figure, someone who will encourage them and give them wisdom and stretch them to be able to do what they never thought was possible. Harry Potter had Dumbledore. Luke Skywalker had both Yoda and Obi-Wan Kenobi. Frodo had Gandalf. This essential element of a mentor is a part of great adventure stories because it is true to life. No one can make it on their own. We all have struggles and challenges no matter what life stage we are in. We would be greatly benefited by having someone who can offer words of wisdom and insight, someone who is honest and not afraid to tell us what we need to hear. One of the beautiful things about the church community is that it is intergenerational. There are others who have gone before us who can pour into our lives, blessing the next generation. This is the last sermon in a series called Relationships, and today we are looking at mentorship, with Paul and Timothy as the prime biblical example of what mentorship can look like. Before jumping in, let's pray. Lord our God, as we open the scriptures and give our attention to you today, would you speak to us? Would you inspire us and lead us by your Spirit to walk in your ways? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. The Apostle Paul met Timothy when he was traveling around spreading the gospel. Timothy had a good reputation, and Paul wanted Timothy to accompany him on his missionary journeys. Timothy and Paul spent quite a bit of time together, going around on mission trips. They worked closely together, planting churches, and over the years, they developed a very close relationship. Paul was not just a long-term friend, but also a mentor to Timothy. The book of the Bible that we call 2 Timothy is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy while he was imprisoned in Rome. Paul wanted to encourage him because Timothy was facing challenges in his ministry. Timothy was a young pastor in the church at Ephesus. And as with any church, there were challenges, there were quarrels, there were people who questioned his authority and his leadership. And Timothy was getting discouraged. In this letter, we see a model for relationships. Let's explore this letter and see how Paul related to Timothy as his mentor. First, Paul cared about Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 to 4, Paul says, "I thank God whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you, that I may be filled with joy." I've been blessed to have multiple mentors throughout my life. From my youth all the way to the present day, I've had a string of people who are older than me pouring into my life. What I've come to realize is that the thing that matters most in a mentor is their care. Simply knowing that someone cares about me and wants to help me flourish is enough to foster my growth. If a mentor does nothing more than care about me, that is a job well done. Whenever I've had someone who just told me what to do, give me unsolicited advice, and give me the impression that I don't really matter that much to them, which has unfortunately been the case for some bosses in the past, I felt stuck and confined. I wanted to run away. There's this common saying in leadership, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And I found this to be true. The most important thing a mentor can do is to genuinely care about the person they're mentoring. And that's what we see with Paul. He shows care by regularly thanking God for Timothy. When my best mentors have prayed for me, they often begin, "Lord, thank you for Jeff." And I pick up on the level of sincerity. It's hard to describe, but You just know when someone is truly grateful for you. When someone gives thanks to God for you, you feel like a gift. You feel like you matter. You feel loved and cared for. Paul not only thanks God for Timothy, but he also expresses a longing to see him and his anticipation for the joy that he will feel when they're reunited. There are some relationships that can feel one-sided. You always have to be the one to initiate. You're eager to see the other person, but it seems like they never really miss you. The fact that Paul longs to see Timothy is a sign of their mutual affection. One of my current mentors is a man named Mark, who is 20 years older than me. For a couple of years, we had a professional relationship as he was coaching me on some things for work and life. And even at that time, I had the sense that he enjoyed spending time with me. Then later, as things changed for me at work, and I no longer felt the need for coaching at that time, I decided to put myself out there and express that I would like to pursue a friendship with him. And to my delight, he enthusiastically agreed. What I had sensed earlier was true. We shared a genuine mutual affection. We both really cared about each other. It's been in seasons when my mentors cared about me, like Paul cared about Timothy, that I have grown substantially. It's like a potted plant. If it's neglected, it's going to wilt. But if you tend to it, it will thrive and flourish. Care is crucial. Secondly, we see that Paul encourages Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5 to 7, Paul says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." As Timothy was experiencing discouragement over the various challenges he faced in his ministry, Paul wrote words that would lift him up. He began with the thing that matters most for what Timothy was facing, and that's faith. Timothy didn't primarily need techniques for managing conflict. He didn't need self-help and 10 easy steps. He needed faith. He needed to be reminded of his relationship with Jesus, which is what it's all about. And he also needed to be reminded of the presence of the Holy Spirit who gives power, love, self-control, and spiritual gifts. Paul encouraged Timothy to fan into flame his gifts, to nurture what God had given him, to have confidence in what God can do through him. The other day, a young lady approached me. She was interested in leading a group at the Alpha Course, which is a program that helps people discover Christ. She was interested, but she had some doubts about her own abilities and qualifications. We chatted for a while, and in the end, I encouraged her and affirmed the faith that I saw in her. I gave her the assurance that it's not ultimately about her qualifications, but about what God can do through her when she's willing. As we parted ways, she seemed confident and full of faith. Sometimes we need others to encourage us, and that's what a mentor can do. We've seen that Paul's mentorship involved care and encouragement. Paul also offers practical, relevant advice to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 23 to 25, Paul says, "Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels. And the Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but kind to everyone, able to teach, patiently enduring evil, correcting his opponents with gentleness. God may perhaps grant them repentance, leading to a knowledge of the truth." I said earlier that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Mentors need to ensure that the foundation of a loving relationship is established. Without that, no one wants your advice. It's like in the Charlie Brown cartoons when the teacher talks to the kids and all the kids hear is wah, 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 wah. What goes in, or what the teacher says, goes in one ear and out the other. However, since Paul had established a caring relationship with Timothy, Paul had earned the right to speak into his life. Timothy was receptive to what Paul had to say. People are often helped more by a listening ear and an empathetic presence than by a bunch of advice. However, there are times when we need advice, when we are hungry for the wisdom of those who have gone before us. Sometimes we feel stuck and we don't know the way forward. The advice of a mentor can give us insight to take action. The church that Timothy was leading was quarrelsome over controversies. Paul's advice was to stay out of the gossip, to not participate in the quarreling, but to gently correct others. That takes a lot of courage. If you're in a situation where everyone around you seems tense and there's bickering going on, it's very difficult to separate yourself from that and to provide leadership. The modern word for this is differentiation. It means not getting tangled up in the mess, but being your own person, distinct from the group. If you are well differentiated, you can step into the chaos without getting caught up in order to bring about positive change. It requires a lot of maturity. I don't think Timothy would have had the experience to arrive at this on his own. Paul's advice was the mentorship that Timothy needed at this time. I was in a situation about a year ago where I was tempted to take the easy way out of a tough situation. But my mentor spoke up and called me higher. He said that even though I could go this easy route and had the freedom to do so, he wanted me to choose otherwise. I'll never forget his simple words of wisdom to me. Sometimes the harder thing is the best thing. Those words just pierced my heart and lingered in my conscience. Sometimes the harder thing is the best thing. This challenging word of advice led me to take the better choice, to face the tough situation head on. And I grew a lot through that experience. When a mentor has earned the right to speak into someone's life through genuine care, their advice can be life-changing. Lastly, Paul sets an example for Timothy to follow. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 10 to 15, Paul says, "You, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness, my persecutions and sufferings that happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, while evil people and imposters will go on from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Mentorship is a ministry of life on life. People don't typically become mentors unless there's something about their lives worth replicating. The people I have looked up to as mentors have been people who love the Lord, who have given their lives to serve God. They are people who not only talk the talk, but walk the walk. They practice what they preach. Their lives have been transformed by the love of Jesus. My mentors hold the tension that all mature Christians hold between the abundant blessings of God and the significant suffering of the world that Paul mentions in his message to Timothy. We are not immune to pain, but we learn how to walk through fire and come out refined. Paul didn't only talk to Timothy about life and leadership. He demonstrated to Timothy how to live and lead. His life was a model. He invited Timothy to watch and see what his mentor does. Predominantly, Paul was a good role model, but I'm sure Timothy would have also learned from Paul's mistakes and struggles. A good mentor opens up vulnerably about their lives to their apprentice. Everyone is human. When we pretend to be perfect, it just comes across as fake and we lose credibility. People are often afraid to share their weaknesses, but the irony is that when they do, when they share vulnerably, people often respect them more. No one is looking for a pristine role model. We need real people who have been through the trenches with some battle scars and have some stories to tell. One of my mentors would mostly listen to me and encourage me, but occasionally he would speak up and tell a story. What I noticed is that it was usually stories about his struggles, not his successes. One time, when I was feeling overlooked and a little jealous, my mentor told me about a time when his best friend was chosen for a job that he himself really wanted. He told me about all the dark thoughts and emotions that came to him at first. How dare this guy get the job? I'm more qualified. But then he told me about how God convicted him and led him to pray blessings over his friend, and how his heart changed because of this. As my various mentors have shared their lives with me, there is much that I have gleaned from them. Having a mentor is not just for your own benefit. If you have a good mentor, your life will have a greater impact on those around you. Most likely, if you have been mentored well, someday someone will want you to be their mentor. Every Timothy needs a Paul, and every Paul needs a Timothy. Some of you might have never had a mentor before. If that's the case, don't wait around hoping that someone will take you under their wing. Go pursue a mentor. Pay attention to the people that you admire and ask them if you can connect with them sometime. You might not officially call it mentorship, at least not right away, but you can start building a relationship with someone whose life that could have a positive impact on yours. For others, you may have received mentorship, and perhaps it's time for you to begin mentoring someone else. Similarly, you don't have to be reactive, waiting for someone to ask. You could be proactive and invite a younger person to spend some time together. See if there's a good connection and take it from there. The beautiful thing about the church community is that it's multi-generational. The elders can mentor the senior leaders. The senior leaders can mentor the adults. The adults can mentor the youth. The youth can mentor the kids. There's always an opportunity to bless the next generation. And there might even be times when you mentor people older than you. I find myself in that situation these days as I'm a fairly young pastor. Quite a few people that I pour into are older than me. And that reminds me of something Paul wrote to Timothy in his earlier letter. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, Paul says, "Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, in purity." I found that the older people I minister to respect me as I set an example for them. I do not need to feel inferior or intimidated because I'm younger. God can use me to bless those who are older than me. And maybe he can do the same for you as well. A mentor is someone who cares and encourages, someone who gives sound advice, someone who sets an example. In the case of a Christian mentor, they are someone who acts as a signpost pointing to Jesus. We can grow in Christ through mentorship. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the example that Paul set, not only for Timothy, but for all of us, of how to live, how to lead, and how to be a good mentor. Lord, wherever we're at, whether we need to seek a mentor or whether it's time for us to become a mentor, would you lead us by your Spirit? Would you bring someone across our path? Would you give us discernment and help us to take action, to be the church for one another, to be the people who will pour into each other's lives and point each other to you? We pray this in Jesus' name.